We appreciate your hard work in our lives. We appreciate your modeling to us who Christ is. May this day be a blessing, do you think? One of them is my son, I claim him, and the other one is a good friend. Thank you so much, mothers. You may be seated. I also would like to say something to those of us that may not necessarily be mothers in the sense of having their own biological child. Yet God has created us in His image, and He has placed particular qualities that are very unique to a female. And that is their nurturing quality. And I know that a lot of us that may not have experienced motherhood still long to practice what God has put in our hearts. And I want to thank you, those of you that do not necessarily have a biological child, that have not precluded you from being a mother, from practicing motherhood. And I personally want to thank you for putting on display the nurturing qualities that God has created you with. For even though you may not have your own one that you're holding in your arms, God has for you a special one that He desires to show to them a mothering quality. And I want to encourage you to look with an open eye. And even those that have your own children, God is still bringing more children to you, that you may become a spiritual mother to them, that you may practice those qualities that are of the Lord, put in your particular circumstance. Be a nurturing mother, regardless of the fact if your daughter or son, or your biological daughter or son, or it's somebody that the Lord brought in your life and is blessing you with that privilege to practice who God created you to be. So thank you so much, mothers. Appreciate the spiritual mothers in my life. Appreciate the spiritual mothers in your life. Appreciate the biological mothers in your life. So I want to thank the Lord for the privilege this morning to be able to speak to all of us as we bring from the Bible a female example of being the best mom in the world. Can you guess who that might be? Mary? Do I hear Mary? Yes, it is Mary. It is Mary. Yet, I have titled my message this morning, the most unlikely candidate for the title Best Mom in the World. That's a paradox, which we will really look into this morning. Mary, the mother of Jesus, we all claim the title. We have all bestowed the title to her, that she is the best mother in all the wide world, through all history. For she had mothered and parented the Son of the Most High. So it's logical to conclude that she should carry the title the best mother in the world. Yet, I really think she was the most unlikely candidate to be chosen for that title. And so I'm excited to bring this message to us this morning. I know it will be instructional, not just to mothers, not just to females in this morning meeting, but I know that all of us could really be instructed by the example of Mary's life. Let's go ahead and read Luke chapter 1, verses 26 to 38. Luke 1, 26 to 38. And I know it is not Christmas. We just actually celebrated Easter, so I'm not confused. We're just going to the biblical text that will really disclose certain things about Mary, the mother of Jesus. In the sixth month, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you." Well, wouldn't you think that the normal response to that would be, "Thank you so much. Looking forward to hear what the Lord has favored me with." Instead, the scripture says, Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. Well, that's an interesting statement right there. An angel of the Most High comes to you and says, "You are highly favored," and you question it? And you say, "Come on, what type of a greeting is this angel bringing into my life?" But the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will be with child and give birth to a son, and you to give him the name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob, not for a short period of time, but forever, and his kingdom will never end." Now, another interesting response on Mary's behalf. "How will that be?" Mary asked the angel. "Since, look at that, I'm a virgin." The angel answered, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age, and she who was said to be barren is in her sixth month. For listen, Mary, it's a good thing for you to remember, for nothing is impossible with God." "I'm the Lord's servant," Mary answered. "May it be to me as you have said." Then the angel left her. A lot of times we read biblical texts, and since we're reading them 2,000 years later, we truly put the people on a pedestal. We forget that they're the same flesh and blood. They walk the same earth as we do. We understand from history perspective the significance that their lives held. And this is how we view the circumstances described in the Bible. I would challenge us this morning to look at the biblical text in a new way. Let's go back 2,000 years and enter the human drama of the biblical text. Mary, a young girl, like one of those that are sitting right here, I just don't see. Yeah, Mary, just like Mary, right there. Because about at the age of 12 or so, they would pick the groom, and the girl would be promised in marriage. And that pretty much meant a marriage that cannot be broken. Once the girl is promised to the man, some time elapses, but you cannot break that bond. It is a promise. It has to, you know, the girl has to be given a divorce letter if that promise would be broken. So Mary was pledged to marry Joseph. She was a young girl
We assuming that she was happily engaged. We'll assume that in our story. Although, you know, you never know with those type of pledged marriages. But Mary was one of those that was happily engaged and looking forward to the wedding ceremony. So she was going along with her preparations. But before I take you there, I want to take you to the town that Mary lived in. Where was Mary from? What was the town Mary was from? Nazareth. Mary was from Nazareth. Do you remember a reference to the town of Nazareth, another reference in the Bible? Nathaniel says, can anything good ever come from Nazareth? Do you know why Nazareth didn't have a good reputation in the biblical times? Nazareth was located in the geographical area of Galilee. Galilee, if you remember, was called the Galilee of the Gentiles. I'll give you a little bit of a history lesson there. Galilee is located in the northern part of the of Israel. It was part of the northern kingdom, one of the furthest points up there. And you know from the Old Testament that the Israelites didn't have a very faithful bond with their Creator. You remember that. God would get upset with them and he will send a prophet and he will warn them and they may repent for a little bit, but then they would go back and serve other gods and they were trying to be synchronous, to bring foreign worship. They worship Baal, they worship the gods of the other nations. And over and over and over and over and over and over through their existence, they would repeatedly anger the God of the universe. Because they would basically say, you're not sufficient to us, and we will bow down before other gods. So this is what the Lord said to them. Then that kingdom will be separated, and he would give the kingdom for a time into someone else's hands. And he allowed the northern part of Israel to be taken by an Assyrian ruler who captured the land. And it was a practice at that time that as a country captures a territory, they take away its inhabitants and they repopulate that country with their own citizens. Okay? So the land of Galilee, that originally was a God-fearing land, it had Jews that really worshiped the Lord and they sacrificed to the true God, those Jews were taken away. And in that place, Assyrians were brought in, Assyrian citizens, that propagated the worship of foreign gods. And that went on and on for several centuries. So the few Jews that were left and that returned back to the place of Galilee really were forced to live with pagans. Okay? And they began even more so to worship on both ends, trying to worship God and trying to worship other gods. So Galilee was the region that was called Galilee of the Gentiles. Now, nobody in Jerusalem had anything good to say about Galilee of the Gentiles, and specifically about the town of Nazareth. Nazareth was a small little bitty village during the time of Jesus Christ. About, can you guess what is the population of Nazareth when Mary was chosen? 150. 150 people in total. So Nazareth is smack dab in the middle of Galilee of the Gentiles. And it's a town of 150 people. Now, I don't know what is the percentage of the females in that town. And what is the percentage of those that were not married, that were still virgins, that were actually able to bear children? But you can do the math. So God is looking from heaven at a place that was of no reputation of faithfulness, of purity, of faith, of religion, that really knew what God Jehovah was all about. He was looking at a pool of women that was maybe about 30 or so women that he was able to choose from. And he goes in the midst of that limitation and picks one and goes to Mary, sends an angel, Gabriel, who is an important angel in the Bible as you read that name, sends that angel to Mary, in the middle of the Galilee of the Gentiles, a place that didn't teach the faithful religion of God Jehovah, a place where you would expect that women were not even taught scripture much, okay? At that time, you didn't teach scripture much to the females, but especially when they are far away from the temple. Mary was of no social standing, of no reputation. It was a poor agricultural place. Nazareth was a town that was isolated about 1,300 feet up in the mountains. So really, people couldn't come and go very easily from that place. They were so isolated that they didn't have much communication with Jerusalem or the temple. And in the midst of these conditions, God the Father, who is ready to send Jesus the Messiah to be the Savior of the entire human race, looks at this planet, looks at Israel, looks at the geography of Israel, and finds the most isolated, the most unlikely place to point to a candidate to usher the promised dream. I really want to challenge you this morning. God finds the most unlikely candidate and puts his favor on that person. Whew! It makes me shout. I don't know what it makes you do. But when the Lord looks upon the earth and sees your limitations and sees the fact that your abilities are not up there, but he looks at the heart and he discerns the heart and sees that seed that he has planted in and looks at your humbleness and humility, and he sees the open heart that would actually accept the challenge that he's going to issue to you. He looks at you and he says, "This is my chosen one. My favor would fall on you. Mary, you are highly favored." Mary couldn't quite fathom that. Now that's why she did. "Angel, you must be joking. You have the wrong address." I can only imagine what was going on through Mary's head. Now, wait a minute. This angel that's frightening in his looks and appearance comes to me, begins a conversation with me, and starts with that, "You are highly favored." Now, Gabriel, wait a minute. Let me explain something to you. If I was highly favored of the Lord, First of all, I wasn't going to be placed in Nazareth. Only 150 people. Do you know what my childhood looked like? Do you know what my youth looked like? I didn't even have friends. And my parents are just so limited in their understanding. And I'm trying to tell them about the world and the horizons that could open for me. But they wouldn't even let me get out of this village. And it's 150 people, Gabriel. Where do I go to party? Now, I am in the process of choosing a wedding town. In this town, there isn't a proper wedding shop. I cannot find the florist and bridesmaid dresses. Now, come on, you have to be joking me. I am actually sewing them by hand because I cannot find an open shop to do that. Your statement comes to me rather false. If I thought that God favored me, He would have placed me in the middle of the honored ones in Jerusalem. And if you're talking about me bearing the Most High Son, I would have been trained under the patriarchs that truly know the word. I would have been allowed to actually say the word out loud. By the way, at that time, to teach a woman the scripture, the Torah, was like teaching it to a dog. They were not allowed to say scriptures out loud. They were not taught scriptures. Here and there, in rare circumstances, in Jerusalem, in the high up societal places, those families that had some rank, they would teach their daughters snippets of scripture. So I can only see how Mary would argue. If I was highly favored, you really would have placed me in one of those families. I would have had a mom and a dad that cared enough for me to teach me the Word of God. But here I am, in the middle of Nazareth. Should I remind you again? The Galilee of the Gentiles? No purity of faith, no understanding of Scripture. So in the midst of all of that, you come to me and you're actually telling me that I would have some ability to parent the Most High? You truly must be joking. Because let me tell you, I don't know the first thing about the scriptures. How am I going to transfer by memorization? By the way, that's how they did it, by memorization. Oral, verbally recounting scriptures. So if you don't know it, how are you going to pass it down? I see so much encouragement in Mary's story. As I told you, we read those biblical texts and we do not understand the human drama that had gone beyond that. We read about Mary and she now has iconic status. So everybody knows Mary, the mother of Jesus. I don't know that we understand the story, the human partnership that the Holy Spirit asked of Mary to come alongside God the Creator, to suspend her dreams and her preferred future so she may allow God's purposes and His kingdom will to come into her so she may birth the promise that He promised to this earth. She truly had to suspend her preferred future in the middle of the most exciting time in a woman's life, when she would be gladly arranging a wedding. And she had some time to think on that and to bring it together to her liking. The angel comes in and announces that the favor of the Lord is truly asking for her sacrificial availability.
Ouch! That hurts. I don't know what you would call that, but very few of us would call it a favor.
The angel came into her life, interrupted it at the most inopportune time for Mary to announce the favor of God on her life. I don't know where you stand this morning with the Lord. You may feel that the Lord has come into your life at the most inopportune times, and He has challenged you to follow Him in areas that you were not prepared. And you had to do just like Mary did. Now, wait a minute. Let's talk about that. I don't quite see it like you see it. I don't have the right qualifications. I do not have the abilities that would take me there. Now, Mary thought that she could really argue with the angel. She wasn't qualified in her mind, but she really knew that she could get the angel to see her way because she was going to put it out there, point blank, something that she really lacked. To bear a child, she could not have been a virgin. And if she can get the angel to see that, the angel would back off. So she said, now, wait a minute, Gabriel. How is that gonna be? For I'm a virgin. In my mind, I ran through my qualifications and my abilities, and this is my summarization. I could not have been chosen of God to carry His promises and His kingdom purposes because, and she could have done a long list, but you really stress the big one. I'm a virgin. And the angel looked at her and said, Mary, I think you're forgetting an important one here. It is not about your limitations, or in parentheses, it is not about your abilities or your qualifications. But Mary, it is about the heavenly qualifier. For by the Lord, all things, through Him, all things are possible. And He, the Mighty One, has chosen you specifically because you will not boast in your qualifications and in your abilities. But He looks at the heart and He sees the humble spirit in you, and for that reason He's calling on you. Most of the times, God will pick the most unlikely places, the most unlikely persons, and He will ask you for your sacrificial availability, but never just for your ability. Because if you could have done it, He's obsolete. We don't need Him. God will always ask you to do a larger than life dream. It would be larger than your life dream. It may not be larger than somebody else's life dream, but what God is asking you to do in life would be bigger than anything you could have ever imagined that you could ever do in your life. We're all created in His image. We're all created in His likeness. That means that we all have greatness placed in us. And the kingdom of heaven depends on the human partnership with us here on earth. God, as He created us, He placed us to be stewards of this earth and to project dominion on His behalf.
on this earth? Is God limited? By no means, God is not limited. But he has chosen to work in partnership with humans. So in order the will of his kingdom purposes to come in establishment on earth, he has to have a human element. He has to have you and I agreeing with him that we would allow his favor to begin to shape us into the right vessel, into the right conduit for his purposes. God most often shows up in the most inopportune time and asks you for your sacrificial availability. Think about Mary's circumstance. Couldn't the angel come, like right after the wedding feast and right before they consummated the marriage? He could have approached Mary and said, "You're the most favored one of the Lord. You will bear a child. Since you're a virgin right now, still a virgin, yet there will be no stigma of society that's going to follow you. I'm going to hide you and protect you, and at the same time I will fulfill my prophecy, for you're a virgin and you will bear my son." It could have. It looks logical to me. He could have asked her at that time. Yet he showed up at the most inopportune time for Mary's life. Mary had her life all planned. And it looked very nice and successful. Joseph was a very well thought of person. She was marrying into a good family. Her life was all planned. Her today was all organized. Yet, I'm sure that as she was praying, "Your kingdom come from heaven on earth. Let it be your will as it is in heaven. Let it come on earth today in my life." That presumed a sacrificial availability. And I want to ask you, and I'm asking myself as well, have we planned our todays so full, so smacked up with our schedules? We just have a plan. And our plan truly takes us somewhere. And it's very comfortable, and we see success. And here and there, we also include some Christian activity. So we can put a checkbox right next to it. So my today, your today, is so full that when the angel shows up and says, "You just prayed that my kingdom will comes from heaven on earth through you today. And I'm asking you that you will suspend your today plans so my today will can come from heaven to earth." Are we ready to do that? It takes sacrifice to no end. Mary suspended her life's dreams without any hope for the future. Let me remind you that around first century in Judea, they would stone those that would find themselves pregnant out of wedlock. There was no mercy. The best outcome Mary could think of was that Joseph was not going to make a big deal out of it, wasn't going to go into huge, big, blown-out scandal, and was going to leave her to her shameful future. But it was either death by stoning or the best outcome, Joseph leaving her. And in the middle of that choice, She had to say, may it be done unto me as you have seen that it favors me. I don't know about you, but it takes so much humility and so much focus on the Heavenly Father that our daily agendas could be set aside for our answer to the Lord to actually be, yes, Lord, to all that you have purposed for me. I don't know what is the Lord asking you to suspend, maybe indefinitely. For Mary had to suspend indefinitely her wedding plans. Mary never went through a full-blown wedding as she was hoping for. For Mary was pregnant, and it was shameful. And people looked at her with scorn. Yet Joseph kept her as his wife. But that scorn followed Mary for the rest of her human existence here. It may have changed. 2 millennia later, we have her truly at an iconic status. And you would see in Catholic and Orthodox churches a lot of pictures and icons of Mary. But while she was alive here on earth, sharing life with other human beings, she was looked down upon for the one that got herself pregnant before marriage. I don't know what the Lord is asking of you today. How is His plan going to interrupt your plans? But I'd like to challenge you this morning, and I will give you in a few minutes a time at the altar for you to come and reason with the Lord. God has placed greatness in every one of us. He also has placed a specific call and purpose of existence. And I know that He has been speaking to you. His gentle whisper has been reminding you of things He has laid in your heart as a dream, and you have been pushing it aside and asking the Lord to wait because it's not opportune time for you. But this morning, God is truly asking you to consider that He has found you faithful and with favor in His eyes. And He's asking you to put aside things that may be interfering with His plans for you. Would you be willing to say, yes, Lord, may it be done to me as you have said. I will not doubt you, for I understand that it is not through my qualifications, but it is the heavenly qualifier who is not looking at my limitations and my human abilities, but who is infusing me with supernatural abilities. And He is only looking at my sacrificial availability. You may find yourself to be the most unlikely candidate to be called to do great things for the Lord. But I have news for you. Mary, the mother of Jesus, was called out of Nazareth, a city of only 150 people, tucked up high in the mountains, difficult to get to, so no exchange of culture, in the middle of Galilee of the Gentiles, no purity of faith. Yet the Holy Spirit found Mary's heart to be the right one. And this is what the Holy Spirit is interested in this morning. To find your heart
in total humbleness and humility, answering to the Lord, yes, to your call. I will submit myself that you may supernaturally do the things you're calling me to perform for your kingdom purposes on earth. I want to talk to those of you that may not know the Lord as a personal Savior. And I want to extend an invitation. We're talking about the Creator who calls upon us to do acts of greatness on His behalf. You are also included in that call. If you would answer His call this morning to come and to get to know Him in a personal relationship. So as the altar is going to be opened here in a minute, I would like to invite those of you that maybe do not know Jesus Christ in a personal relationship to come and talk to me. I'll be down here. Tim, would you please come as well and welcome people if they would come and want to know more about Jesus and how to establish a relationship with Him. For the rest of us that already have an established relationship with the Lord, hear the Holy Spirit this morning as He is stirring your heart to respond with, yes, Lord, to whatever He has been talking to you about. He has been stirring your heart. I know that He has. It is now the day where you would say to the Spirit, I will suspend my expectation of today so your today can come into my life. So your will can be accomplished as it is purposed in heaven that through partnership with me, you could accomplish what you desire to see on this earth. I will give you a few minutes. You're welcome to come to the front and respond to that altar call. In about 10 minutes, our connection groups will begin. We will have some snacks for you to take along to the connection groups. And we will continue that conversation about the unlikely places that Jesus goes and chooses people for His work. The sacrifice He requires of us and the answer He expects of us to agree with His will. So may we all stand up. And those of you that desire to come and respond to the altar call, may we do that to the front and we will linger for a while to seal a commitment before the Lord. So we may all be in agreement with the favor of God in our lives. And if you want to know a little bit more about how to foster a relationship with Jesus Christ, Tim is right here to speak to you.